But if you've got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 139. I'm going to read several verses there, a whole section of Psalm 139. And this is just a really encouraging psalm. So if you haven't or don't have this in your repertoire of things to read to yourself once in a while to check out, you ought to have this. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but let's just start with verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. Well, I just had to put some emphasis on that. Somebody, the rest of you are still looking down, don't even know what I did. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide me from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts, and you covered me with my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Nudge somebody next to you and say, I am amazing. Marvelous are your works. Nudge someone next to you and say, you are marvelous. Yeah. And that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Wow, that's a thought, isn't it? God knows about all of your days before you even have them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? I love this verse. Some versions say, are your thoughts of me? And other versions say, are your thoughts toward me? But I want to remind you that God is thinking about you. How great is the sum of them. Next time you're feeling like God's forgotten you, you need to look at what his precious word says right here in verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me or of me, O God, how great the sum of them. Verse 18, if I should count them, they would be more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Just love that psalm. One of my favorite quotes from Bill Johnson, I've said it a lot of times. It's so applicable to my mouth. My mouth won't work. It's so applicable to my life. So I always quote a lot that God can't think of something stupid for me to do. I believe that with all my heart, but I'm not sure every Christian believes that. And today I want to talk about stopping stupid in 2018. Good luck. Well, maybe we won't stop it. Maybe we'll move into a different level of stupid. You'll understand that better when I get done. But I just want you to understand this, and I want you to know that you know that you know that you know that God can't think of something stupid for you to do. Anyone here besides me kind of stupid sometimes? Is that picture available? Did we ever get that up? Yeah. Last night I was opening these doors over here to the hallway, and I swung the door vigorously into my foot. And yeah, I don't know if you can see that real well. Oh yeah, it's much prettier up here. That's the color of my toe now. What's different about it? Well, there's no polish on them today. That's different. yeah, you can take that down now. That's gross. My toes aren't all that exciting when they aren't blue. I was running through the building. Mark said something about furnace not working. We have a furnace in the children's church room that didn't work, stopped working midway through the week. And we got someone here on Saturday, but we have to wait on a part. And so what I did was I came out here and I opened up all the doors so that there could be a circulation throughout the entire building. I didn't know that much would get into the other building from here, you know, if I had the heaters in here. But I thought, well, there's a couple of doors anyway, and that can kind of go in there. And then there are three furnaces in that part of the building, and there are five furnaces in this part of the building. And I just thought, well, I'll just open everything up. So I was running really, you know, just kind of through the building, and I grabbed that door and just swung it open real fast and hit my toe. Oh, stupid. Yeah. And I didn't break anything, but I can tell you that I was limping. And we all do stupid stuff, and you know, God didn't think of that for me to do. I thought of it for me to do. So it's not his fault that I busted my toe. It wasn't like God's idea, but can anyone here think of something that God wants you to do that's don't blurt it out, because you'll be sorry if you did. Can you think of something stupid that God wants you to do? Just think for a minute. Is there really something God would want me to do that's stupid? And process that with me a minute. I don't think too many of you would think that God has something stupid for you to do. But we do all know stories where it looked like God had something stupid for someone to do. Yeah. Let's reminisce just a wee bit. Tell me a Bible story where God tells someone to do something and it looks like God's asking them to do something stupid. Take your son, Abraham, the son of promise, and take him over yonder and you sacrifice him over there. Yeah. How many think if Abraham had discussed that with anybody, they would think he was pretty stupid? That's a good one. Can anybody think of another? Yeah. Noah, build an ark nowhere near water. How long is it going to take me, Lord? 100 years. So I'm going to be building this ark for 100 years, and all of my neighbors are going to be looking at me for 100 years. With that little look that dogs give you sometimes. In fact, they made fun of him, according to the scriptures. And I can't say that I wouldn't have been one of them if I'd have been there. How many of you know, if you'd have been there and you didn't have the word of God that he had, you'd be looking at him like he was really a wackadoodle. Absolutely. You know, even Abraham, who started out as Abram, was told by God, I want you to go. And Abraham's like, cool, where are we going? Tell you when you get there. It's kind of stupid. Only it wasn't, was it? It wasn't, but it could have seemed kind of stupid. Oh, and just while we're on Abraham, remember he was Abram and God changed his name, says you need to call start calling yourself Abraham, which who knows what that means?
Father of many.
And he had how many? Goose egg. I got no kids. And when I introduce myself to people, they say, hi, I'm Bob. Hi, I'm father of many. Oh, yeah, where are they at? Oh, I don't have any. But I'm going to be. Dude, you're in your 90s. Like, I thought I was introducing myself to a prune when I first met you. And don't leave Sarah out. Yeah, Sarah, when I get here next year, you're going to have a baby.
Right.
Oh, gosh. How about, anybody think of another one?
Throw your net on the other side.
We've been fishing all night. We do this for a living. We're pretty good at this. We've been doing this a long time. And some guy who is a rabbi is going to come and tell us how to fish. Yeah, that's stupid right there. Yeah, you got one? Walk around the wall, Joshua. Here's what you're going to do. Here's the plan. You're going to take the whole tribe, the whole kit and caboodle, million people. And we're going to walk around the wall tomorrow one time. And we're going to do that every day for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, we're going to do it seven times. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. Yeah, you know, it's just like, I mean, seriously, that's just nuts. It's just nuts. Yeah, God does think of some stuff. And you know, we could go on and on and on. You could talk about Gideon. You could talk about Jehoshaphat sending all the worship team out to get slaughtered by the army. You know, yeah, we're going to send the worship team out first. They're the ones that are there. Fight for us. And you know, the list goes on and on. One of my favorites still is the Syrian general, Naaman. Wow, what a guy. And he's got leprosy, and he goes to the man of God, and he is expecting what any of you would expect. He's expecting the guy to come out and wave his hand over it and shout something, and it just disappears. And instead, the guy won't even come out and see him. And on top of everything else, he's asked to go stick his body in a muddy river. It just doesn't make sense. So let me ask you again, can God think of anything stupid for us to do? Well, I guess it depends on how you define stupid. The people who did what God told them to do looked stupid, but they weren't stupid because they believed that if God told them they ought to do it, that it was probably a good idea. So, no, it's never stupid to do what God tells us to do. And yes, you can almost be guaranteed that God's going to tell you to do something that looks stupid. How many of you are looking forward to God asking you to do something in 2018 that looks stupid? Can't wait! Oh, man. Let me ask you this, though. Couldn't a God have done those things differently? Sure. God could have done any of the things that we've talked about today. He could have done them differently. He could have just at least let Noah and his family move down by the sea when they started building a boat. Then they would only thought he was nuts because he was building such a big boat, not because he was building a boat. But God didn't do that. And God didn't have to make Abraham tell people for 25 years a name that didn't fit. Because he didn't have any children. Why couldn't they just have the child of promise when they were normal aged? Ah, but you see, there's no miracle in that, is there? Not all that special. So the stupid stuff that God asks us to do sometimes, or the stuff that looks stupid that God asks us to do sometimes, he's not asking us to do that stuff for him. Who's he asking us to do it for? That would be us. There you go. This is where this starts to get fun now. Are you ready? Because if you're gonna have a 2018 with an increase that I think God wants you to have, there's going to be something that's at least going to seem stupid right in the middle of it. If he's asking us to do something, it's not for his sake. It's for our sake. There's something in the step of faith, in the act of faith, that changes us and helps us. So when God is asking us to do something, though it may look stupid and even feel stupid, it is not stupid. Anybody here ever done anything that looked stupid, felt stupid, and it turned out to be okay? Yeah, some of you are like, yeah, I've done a lot of stupid that looked stupid, felt stupid, and it ended up being stupid. I got to say, I've done that. It may only seem stupid, though, because we're still a little stupid. My wife's not here in the sanctuary this morning. She's back helping in children's church. But I've told you this before, and she's not afraid for me to tell it. My wife thought that she would be really stupid if she married a pastor. That's what she thought. She did not want to do that. She didn't ever want to marry a pastor because she grew up in a pastor's home, and the way her dad does things and the way I do things are a bit different. We have different personalities, but she thought every pastor had to be just like her dad. So she knew what a pastor's wife, being a pastor's wife, looked like, and, well, she didn't want to do that. God knew that being Pastor Tim's wife was different than being Pastor Fiddler's wife, though. Lisa and I didn't really want to live anywhere but Southern Ohio. We didn't. We were stupid. We love it here. We just have absolutely had such a good time living here. We've now lived here longer than any place in our married life, and it won't be very long until we have lived here longer than we lived in any part of the country, you know, the hills, growing up and then moving away from the, but we will have lived here longer than we've lived in the hills. And we haven't been hillbillies for a long time. Don't you believe that for a minute. I'm still a hillbilly, and I always will be. I'm so glad God doesn't check with us first to find out what's stupid and what isn't. No, God, that would be stupid. Don't do that. How many of you would probably veto good things that God wanted to do because they seemed stupid if God checked with you first? So now we've kind of made this transition. I want to boil it down to something really simple. There are so many directions I could go with this now, but I want to boil it down to something simple that I think can touch each one of our lives. So nudge the person next to you and say, now he's going to get personal with you right now. Just nudge him. I'm going to pick one area that sometimes can make us feel, if not stupid, at least awkward. Let's just say it that way, okay? 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Well, Mabel, there he goes, messing with our lives again. Come on, everywhere! Yeah. It's bad enough when some people do it in church. Huh. Yuck. Sweaty, stinky armpits. Well, I never. It's just gross. You know, some people will do anything to get noticed. That's what that is. Show-offs. Why do they have to ruin our perfectly peaceful service with all this demonstrative worship stuff? We're having a fine time.
How many of you can remember a time when that's the way some people talked? Probably a few still out there. But I remember when this was like when the Jesus people started showing up in the churches with our long hair and not perfect, you know, suits and ties and sometimes bare feet. And then we would have the audacity to stand up in the front of the church and worship God like we were happy or something. Stop it. It was just stupid. It just looked stupid. It felt stupid to some people. And by the way, I got to tell you that the first time I lifted my hands, it was a little awkward feeling. I didn't know what to do. Why does God ask us to enter into worship that involves our bodies? I mean, honestly, couldn't we just be fine just meditating in our hearts? You know, honestly, I don't know that I can answer that satisfactorily for any of us or for all of us, let alone any of us. Like, I don't know that I have a full answer for why God wants you to engage with your physical body. I have some ideas because I've been doing this a while. And we could go over a lot of things about that because, you know, I brought up lifting of hands as part of worship. Wasn't my idea. Didn't write this Bible thing. Wasn't my idea. This dance before the Lord thing. Shouting, clapping, come on. Kind of stupid, don't you think? Well, some of you are now a little offended. Well, I don't think it's stupid. Well, yeah, but there was a time when a lot of people thought it was stupid. Sorry, it's all right. Yeah. There is. There's times when some of us in this room, but some of us new people, our parents or our grandparents or whoever that just thought this whole thing is just getting out of order. It's just out of control. It's just too much. And then we look in the Bible and it's not just a good idea. It's a God idea. Why? I don't know completely, but I know it's for my good. Because God can't think of something stupid for me to do. Let me say that again. I don't know why we should connect on a physical level like that completely. I don't always understand why God asks me to do the things that He does. But I have this one thing that I know. It's for me. God is for me. He loves me. And when He starts saying that these are the things that I should be doing, it's not so He can sit up there in heaven and giggle and point. The angels can all make fun of how untalented I am when I dance. That's not what it's about. After decades of serving Him, I've noticed that if He's asking me to do something, I can count on the reality that He's got a good reason for it. So, everybody, raise your hands. Everybody raise your hands. Okay, that looks like almost everybody. Yep, okay, woohoo! All right, check that off our list. We don't have to do that anymore. Woo! Good. You know, that's how we treat some of the things that God tells us to do, too, don't we? It's kind of like, yep, I did that. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Maybe we should pass those out. We should get some T-shirts that say, yes, I go to a church. I raised my hands once. check mark covered. Yeah, that's not how it works. Here's the reality. God is going to keep asking us to do stuff that feels stupid for the rest of our lives. And he's going to ask us to do those things sometimes when they feel even more stupid than they would if he'd have just asked us a little bit ago. I don't have a whole lot of trouble raising my hands in church, maybe. But then there's that stupid verse that says I'm supposed to do it everywhere. Now, look, I know that there are some people, you kind of know these people. None of them go to this church, but we know the other churches they go to. We know you people. And they do stuff to be seen of men. And Jesus said you shouldn't do these things to be seen of men. And I get that. But he also, understand this, people should catch you doing this stuff. Like, you shouldn't do it to be seen of men, but you should be seen of men doing it. I'm confused. Well, you see, sometimes it's the motive of the heart. If I do what I do because I want to show people I'm holier than you or that kind of thing, yeah, that's a problem for me. But your children should catch you praying. And people should know that you're people of prayer. And it should be okay. And you shouldn't have to hide the fact that you do pray. I mean, if you go to the office tomorrow and, you know, you want everybody to see how holy you are and you stand in the office and lift your hands and pray a real King Jamesy prayer so everybody will know how amazing you are. That's not what I'm talking about. But you may get to the office tomorrow and God may actually say, hey, I need you to lift your voice up and pray, and then pray a heartfelt prayer. Maybe for something that's going on in the office or something that's going on at school or something that, you know, we shouldn't be afraid to pray. We shouldn't be afraid to praise. We shouldn't be afraid to do things that might look a little awkward or even to some people stupid, or that might feel a little awkward for us or might even feel for us like it's a little stupid. Because he's going to be doing this the rest of our lives. And I'd like to think that we could increase in stuff in 2018. Would it be okay with you if God asked you to do more things in 2018 that might be a little outside of your comfort zone than he ever has before? Good. Nobody said no. Holy Spirit, come. Everybody within the sound of my voice, may they find themselves being given opportunities to do things outside of their comfort zone, including me, in 2018 more than ever before. Amen. Mm-hmm. Woo-hoo. So, you know, if I'm willing... And by the way, not everything that God tells you to do is as stupid as it feels like it is at the time. There's been so many times when I felt awkward and stupid because God was telling me to pray for somebody. And I started to ask them if I could pray for them. And they were like, yeah. Like, they were more anxious for it than I was. It was like one of those divine appointments. And it was so wonderful. And sometimes the thing that you think is just going to make you feel awkward or look stupid turns out to be the very thing that is the coolest thing you've ever done. It just turns into something wonderful. And you and I might be missing it sometimes because the thing that feels awkward or stupid that we don't want to do might be the very thing that will cause the walls that are in front of us to fall flat. I've been waiting for those walls to fall. And he's been waiting for me to march around them 7 times. Well, Pastor Tim, what if something I do doesn't turn out to be God? It just turns out to be stupid. No big deal. You already do enough stupid stuff. What's one more? Come on. I know you people. You know me. We all do stupid stuff. Come on. We do. We do stuff that just like you shit back afterwards. And you go, why did I do that? Why did I swing that door into my toe that hard? What was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. That's why I did it. Yeah. What if it's not God? What if it's just stupid? I'm glad you asked. A lot of us do stupid stuff by accident. I don't know that it would be that much of a problem if we did a few more stupid things on purpose. But if in your heart, I believe this, if in your heart you do something that ends up being stupid, but you weren't trying to just be stupid for stupid's sake, but you really were trying to do something for God, it really honors God, I believe that God will honor you in it. Think about that. God would honor your heart even though what you did didn't turn out so good. Now, I'm not saying people will honor it. Some people will look at you like, yeah, boy, you really are a piece, aren't you? Well, I don't know what... But God will honor us doing things sometimes, even when they don't quite turn out the way that we thought they should or would. So here's the reality. The greatest miracles in history looked like the stupidest thing in history and would have looked like the stupidest things in history had they not worked. Think about that. The greatest things in history, so many of them would have looked like the stupidest things in history had they not worked. We ought to be the people who take risk and have confidence because we serve an amazing God. We ought to be the people who will step forward and take risks that could be really stupid but could turn out to be amazing. By the way, people in the world do it all the time. Did anybody besides me watch the national championship game, college national championship game? Anybody? I did. I watched it. And at halftime, the coach of Alabama, Nick Saban, did the stupidest thing I've ever seen. At least it looked like it at the time. He took the quarterback that he had in the game, and they were a little behind, but they weren't out of the game yet. But that quarterback had had a little bit of a rough first half. So he takes Jalen Hurt out, and he puts a guy in whose name I can't even pronounce. He's a Hawaiian guy. By the way, when he walked into the game, I noticed the black underneath their eyes, you know. I was really curious because his black went this way and this way. He had crosses underneath of his eyes. What's up with that? Yeah, but I didn't know it at the time. And I don't think Saban got a word from God. Thus saith the Lord, put in the guy from Hawaii. Hawaii, I know, I'm just being... Think about that. And if this had backfired on him, how many know that come the next morning, all of the announcers in football world and sports world would have been saying, yeah, Nick Saban's lost his mind, took out a guy who was 25-2, I think was his record in college, 25 wins and 2 losses, took him out and replaced him with a guy who hadn't played more than 3 or 4 downs together all year and barely played more than probably 20 plays all year. Takes him out, puts him in, they win the ball game. The guy took risk. Something inside of him knew that the quarterback that he had wasn't going to do it, so he put in a quarterback that he thought had a chance. He took a risk and it paid off. A lot of us have taken risks and we've seen God move. A lot of us have felt God tell them to do things. You know,
this is the place where we practice taking that risk. This is the place where maybe you do lift your hands here in practice, because everybody here will think you're amazing if you lift your hands. Not so much out there. This is the place where we pray for one another and we take risk, because out there it's riskier. This is the place where we get demonstratively more vocal and more aggressive in our worship. Why? I don't know for sure all the time. But as we practice what we're doing here, we come to a place where we can do more out there. And that is God's big plan. That's how it works. I want to encourage us, put courage into us. I'm not going to have the worship team come back up today. Done that in the past, by the way, taught on worship and taught on the things the Bible says to do during worship, the Hebrew words for worship, and then tried to get everybody, come on, try it out. And if everybody's trying it out, it's not so bad. It's harder when I'm the only one who he's suddenly telling to dance in the whole congregation. It's harder when I'm the only one who seems to like he's at that place where he's needing to go after it a little bit harder than everybody else. And I'm looking around and it seems like everybody else is maybe looking at me and I don't want to be looked at. Because most of the time we don't do what we do to be looked at by everybody around us. We have just the opposite reaction most of the time. We're afraid that if we do this or that, everybody will be looking at us. Anybody besides me ever feel that? Sure. John Wimber used to say, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And a lot of the people that are connected to us now in the movement that we are, the tribe that we are part of, they were people who listened to Wimber. They were people who recognized God's call in his life. And I'm sure that I had known Wimber a little bit more myself and maybe listened to more of his messages, I might have some stories that he told where he took a risk and it didn't work out very good. Didn't work out the way he expected. But I believe that every time I do something, even if what I do turns out to be stupid, if I did it because I wanted God to be glorified, I believe God will be glorified and I will be honored. So in 2018, I think we ought to go for it. More than ever before, we ought to go for it. We ought to take those risks. You know what you learn real fast if you do a bunch of stupid things in a row and they all turn out bad? You'll learn a bunch of stupid things not to do. And you can start checking the things off that don't work so you can start checking the things off that do work. They say that Thomas Edison tried a bunch of stupid filaments that didn't work. About 1,000 of them before he found one that would. Somebody asked him once, why didn't you give up? Didn't you feel like you failed all those times? He goes, no, I never failed. I just found 1,000 things that wouldn't work. That has to be our heart. That we're just going to go for it. That we're just going to go for it. And when we come to this place, maybe we go for it a little bit harder. Maybe we get a little more demonstrative. I'm not asking you to do it for me. I'm not asking you to do it so our congregation will look so cool. Oh, we'll look so much more cool if all of you people just really go for it. I'm suggesting that we do this so that we become everything he's called us to be. That we do the things that may sometimes feel awkward or stupid, but we realize they're not because he said they should be done. And that as we do them, we get more used to doing things that might not make sense to everybody around us, but that God tells us to do. And because we did it and we took the risk, somebody got healed. Somebody got touched. Somebody got saved. Somebody got ministered to in some way that we haven't even talked about or thought of yet. Does it make sense to anybody but me? Yeah.
So I'm gonna encourage you. This 2018, let's go for more. Let's go for the more. Let's do that stuff that God's given us to do.